again. Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show, brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Good morning and welcome to Wealth Money Radio. It's Saturday, April 27th and 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, the usual time for the show. I'm Greg Soderbergh. I'm here with Byron Dale. If you want to call and talk, give us a call at 347-884-9499. You know, Tennessee, he may have owed his soul to the company store like in the song, you know. And Tennessee was a good guy. But America and Americans owe their souls to the banking industry that creates all money as loans. Currently, we have no other option for creating money. Until then, we are forced into debt to the money creators and to a constant and growing debt that can never be paid and all its consequences. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, Greg. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm okay, except for the debt money thing. And some other things.
I hear it's snowing down your way, too.
Yeah, it's snowing. It's kind of a light, heavy snow. It's not blowing real bad. That's good. It's kind of a nice snow for April 27th in southern Minnesota. But I'm okay.
And talking about the money system, that's probably the best-kept secret in the entire world about how the money system actually works. Because I ask a lot of people, you know, if they can tell me, well, just exactly where does money come from and who creates it and how does it get in circulation so we can have it, so we can get paid with it and we can spend it and stuff like that. And you can't find hardly anybody that has a clue.
Yeah,
and
you know,
the last one I asked said, well, I think they just print it. Well, you know, and the same old thing, if they're just printing the money, how come the government's printing the money, how come they're getting deeper and deeper in debt all the time?
Yeah, and
have an answer.
Well, you know, we talked about last night a little bit, all the things that people have created and made, and I was talking about at work our copy machine and all the things that it does, and it staples and collates, and it does everything except wash the dishes, and somebody had to think of all the parts and how to design the parts and how to make them work together in such a fashion to create a machine like that. And there's thousands of other examples out there of things that someone has thought about and then created. And we know about all these things. And, you know, of course, nowadays it's the latest and greatest cell phone app. We use money just like water. It's fluid. We use it every day in our lives for transactions and just everything. And nobody even thinks about how money's created. And it's just...
Or where it comes from or anything about that. It's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can think about everything else. Well now I saw on a weather site, they say they found this cult in the tundra permafrost, I don't know, somewhere in Never Never Land over by Russia or something. Of course, it's 42,000 years old, and they were able to extract urine and blood samples from it. And the most wonderful thing, the most wonderful thing about the whole thing is that from those extractions, they may be able to grow a woolly mammoth. And, of course, I had to comment and say, well, you know, I said, you know, like, you know, we don't know how to prevent Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cancer, and a long list of other things, but we do need a woolly mammoth. We've gone a long time without one. I mean, you know, where are people's heads at? You know, where are their priorities? And it gets back, you know, to this money system. Do they want to be free, or do they want to constantly have to struggle to meet the higher and growing costs of living, the inability to save, and the corruption of their country, you know? But I just don't know where their concerns are.
Well, you know, what you would just tell me, you know, that's another thing of how easy you get lied to and how often we believe the lies. Because they had no way that theirs is that old in the first place. Second place, nobody could know if they was. Mm-hmm. I remember back when I was on the ranch, they had a big volcano out in west United States, in Washington or someplace in that area. And, you know, you could see it because you could see the smoke come of us. Well, not 5 years later, my brother, who, you know, has a college degree in this kind of stuff, you know, so he got a sample of that, and they took a sample, and it proved it was something like thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Well, we knew it wasn't 1,000 years old because personally we lived and saw it and heard about it and saw the stuff in the air at, you know, clear over in South Dakota from where it was over there somewhere around the West Coast. I don't remember exactly anymore. That's quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you how easy it is to say something and yet you really can't back it up. And how do you know if it's true or not? And, you know, it's, and you really believe that you could get a sample of blood? And how many years did you say it was? 42,000 or some dang thing?
Yeah, 42,000.
I mean, all this stuff deteriorates and breaks down. And yet it didn't break down in that whole time. And
right.
Then my brother also, he had a piece of galvanized pipe, and I saw it myself. And it's all full of you know, stones that turned into stone. And
mm-hmm.
He had got it. They had a hotel in Nebraska that the water quit running all the time, an old one, and they tore it down. And that was a piece of the pipe come out of it, because over the years, and that wasn't only 100 years, that had turned into stone inside that galvanized
mm-hmm.
pipe. And I've seen mm-hmm. it in touches myself, so I'm pretty sure it's not just something that somebody told me and I had to believe because I just believed what he said. No, I touched it myself and rubbed it, and it's so obvious that most of this stuff we hear just isn't true. And it comes
yep.
all the time to money, because everybody wants it, and it costs a lot to do this and that, and everybody wants more wages. But they never ask, well, what's the source of the money?
Mm-hmm.
But you can, if you're in the grocery store, you can tell if the food come from Mexico China, and
sure.
you know all that. But you can't have any idea about where money comes from. Yet everybody's using it every day, coming in the store and buying things and doing things, and yet nobody ever thinks about any place how it would be created. And I was among them until years ago. I had a ranch, and I began to really understand that things weren't right. Something was wrong. And
yeah.
there was a guy on the computer with me here not too long ago, and he was talking about how the government guarantees the value of the dollar. Now, I have not a real clue what he meant by that, because I know for a fact that the value of the dollar changes moment by moment.
Yep.
I've seen them go through the store and mark things down. I've seen people, and I work in the bakery there at Target now, and a woman, they had something and she didn't like the looks of it, so she took a slip of paper that said a dollar off on it and slapped it on it, and immediately that became worth a dollar less than it was seconds before. And then you tell me that somehow the government guarantees the value of it.
Well,
it's insane that people will believe in such things when personal knowledge knows that that's not true. I mean, my first lesson that years ago was my dad was up to the neighbors and we was helping him work some cattle. And they got to talking after he's all done. And he said, you know, I need to get rid of my bulls. They're going to start breeding their own calves, and I don't want that. And Dad says, well, how much you want for them? I might just buy them off of you. So they agreed. And then when the guy left, he said, get on your horse and drive them down to the neighbors. I'll meet you down there. So I got on my horse and drove three bulls down, I don't know, probably 8 miles or something like that. And when I got there, Dad had already sold them to that guy for $100 a head more than he paid for them. So
yep.
You tell me that dollar it has an absolute solid backed value? I mean, obviously,
yeah.
These people have never had any personal experience in anything. I'm sure they read that someplace in some economics book or some professor told them or somebody. And to tell you the truth, I have never found an economist yet. And we've had a lot of them on the show that really understood, maybe one, really understood exactly how the monetary system works, and he wouldn't talk about it to anybody else. And he himself admitted when he did try it a time or two, they looked at him and asked him, where did you hear such a thing? And it's easy because you and I both wrote letters. I wrote them first, and 10 years later you wrote them, pretty near the same thing, not quite. And Russell Monk answered the same with the same thing. Well, money is created when you go to the bank and get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, having had borrowed money a lot in my life in the ranch business and stuff, well, my first question is, okay, if money is created and you get a loan from the bank, well, I know when you get a loan from the bank, if you borrow, we'll say, $1,000, well, you get $1,000. You don't get $1,001 or $1,005. You get So I wrote back and said, well, where does the money come from then? If all money is created as the loan principal, where does the money come from to pay the interest?
Mm-hmm.
And John Yetter wrote back and said, well, that comes from somebody else's borrowed money. So if that's true, how in the world do you get out of debt? Now, you can transfer some of your debt to somebody else, but it's impossible to get rid of the debt. Go ahead.
And that's we need to explain at that point about the part about extinguishing the loan principal, too, so that people can understand how this shortage comes and keeps growing and growing. Because, you know, like Byron says, if you borrow $100, you got the 100, and let's say at 10%, you got to pay back 110. Well, what Russell Monk and John Yetter were both saying from the Treasury is that somewhere along the line, somebody had to get a loan for at least $10, so your interest money would be out. And so when you if you spend your $100 and get it all back, and then you capture the other guy's $10 in loan principal, you can repay your loan. But now what happens is the $100 is extinguished, the bank has 10, and even if the other borrower goes to work for the bank and wash their windows and gets the $10, he still only has his loan principal back. There's a shortage of the interest, and it keeps going like that, and that's why we have constantly increasing cost of living, but at the same time, a spread between the money supply and the cost of living, and that makes it harder and harder for people to make ends meet, and maybe that's beneficial to the money creators and the people in charge, because then the people become more needy, and of course, as the people become more needy, then of course we get to have government servants who are willing to help those needy people, not solve their main problem, which is the debt money problem, but to help them with all other kinds of little things. And it's pretty disgusting in my opinion, but you know, we had a person that listens to Wealth Money Radio, and he sent me a report. It's a 2018 financial report of the United States Treasury. And I'm sorry to say I haven't spent enough time to read all 264 pages, but I did read some of it. And I wanted to talk about some of the things that I noted, and Byron, you looked at it too. But some of the things that they say is that the whole report, that they remain focused on promoting sustained economic growth that will result in more prosperity for the American people. Now, if that's what they've been doing, I think you can see that it hasn't been happening. It happens for a few, but it doesn't happen for everyone. And as a matter of fact, it's happening for fewer and fewer Americans. So I don't even, to me, that was just an outright lie. But the other thing is, they talk about the trends in government revenues and costs, as well as the government's long-term fiscal challenge of funding the Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid programs. And then they say it's essential that we have transparency. I think that's another word for honesty, but we don't say honesty anymore. We say transparency. But it's essential that we have transparency with respect to our federal government's finances. And if you've been listening to Wealth Money Radio, I want to know if you think they've been transparent with you.
Well, it's obvious they haven't been. And on top of that, this report was signed by Mnuchin, the Secretary of Treasury. And I go through it. I didn't read it all either, but I read, you know, some parts that I thought was interesting. And two of them here, one of them is it results in brief 2018 financial report of the United States government. And it says an unsustainable fiscal path. And it goes to explain that there's no way in thunder that they can keep up with that and ever have it work because it'll be so far in debt. Well, then they have another page here. It says nation by the numbers. If you want to go ahead and say something there, Greg, go ahead and I'll repeat.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I saw a part in there too. It says that the projections in this financial report show that current policy is not sustainable. These projections assume that current policy, blah, 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 blah. What is the current policy? They don't even state in the report what the current policy is. So that's, I just want to...
Well, here it says, Greg, the primary deficit is the difference between the non-interest-bearing and spending and receipts as a racial relationship to gross domestic production. And, of course, see, now the debt isn't greater than the gross domestic production, but in a few years it will be.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, that makes it absolutely unsustainable that there is going to be so much debt. And I'm sorry, it's really, really tough to borrow enough money to pay off your debt and get out of debt.
Kind of like drinking yourself sober, huh?
Yeah, I think it is. And when I was a kid, I personally never drank and never did, but when I was a young fella in high school, I used to go to dances, and them kids my age and around that age, and, you know, within a five-year, you know, a lot of them did, and they got drunker than skunks, and, I mean, I've helped a lot of them, tried to help them walk it off a little, and, you know, they have the dry heaves and just sicker in the dickens, and I helped them quite a little bit, and I thought, why in the world would anybody want to do that, to get in that kind of situation? And then the next Saturday or week after, you'd get a chance to go to another dance, and they'd be there, and they'd get to talking about what they did, and they didn't have a clue what they did. I mean, how insane, and yet you can't pick up a TV program or even most books. Man, all it is talking about going to the beer, you know, the saloon and drinking, and they're always on TV. They're always drinking all the time, and, you know, and it's obviously they're pushing something that's clearly not good for society as a whole. It just, you know, and it's just an amazing how, you know, and you hear these guys, oh, let's go have a party, and the party all means not just going out and having a good time, visiting and doing it, you know, talking to each other and doing a few things. No, it's all getting drunk.
Yeah.
And it's insane. Well, why, you know, and you know, it's just not whether or not it's good, bad, or in between. If you take it too far, it takes you out of your own ability to know what you're doing, and that's not a good thing. So it's why does it. TV people and the writers all push that.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, you know, what they really have in their mind. And then we go on back to this financial thing, and it goes through the gross costs and less earned revenue and gains, loss, and change in assumptions and net cost and all that. And And then you get down here and, you know, total assets, less liabilities, and comprised of debt held by the public and accrued interest and federal employee and veteran benefits and all that. And in just a minute, we'll get back to Social Security. But then they end up here saying the total liabilities is $25,357,500,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 But if it's even if I put on three too many zeros, you just think about how much that is. And then you go on the debt clock, and I really encourage people to go on the debt clock. You know, get on your computer and just go, you know, don't believe what I'm saying. Just go on there and type in debt clock, and up it'll come and show you how much. And you turn on your television, and they're always talking about the government has about $22 trillion worth of debt. But the total debt for the government and all the people and the businesses is $73 trillion. It just went up some. And then you've got to stop and ask yourself, how in the world could a nation get that far in debt when it's supposed to be the wealthiest, best nation in the world, which is obviously it isn't. Why in the world and how in the world could they do that if they printed their own money?
Yeah. And the report talks about, you know, silly things like they say, receipts greater than outlays creates a budget surplus, and outlays greater than receipts creates a budget deficit. So, you know, that means that they spent money that they didn't take in. So where did that money come from? And the answer is they borrowed the money, because if you don't have any money and you're still spending money, then you're borrowing it to obtain the money. And that's one word in this whole report that is seldom seen. They use words like debt, liabilities, revenues, spending, and spending. They always lean on spending, like spending is the problem. We've talked about this before on Wealth Money Radio. When is spending a problem? And the answer is spending is a problem when you got to borrow it before you can spend it. And they never talk about that. It's just interesting. It's like 264 pages, and the word borrowing, because that's what they're doing. That's what causes all the problems and all the unsustainability in this report. But they just never come out and say, borrowing, we're borrowing it. And then they never say, who are we borrowing it from? Who's got enough money to lend everybody all that money? Well, ask Tennessee Ernie Ford at the beginning of the show. He owes his soul to the banking industry, and that's why. But and they say,
and when you stop and think about it, you know that everybody, if they need a loan, you know, you can. There's a few loans you can go to your family to, if or uncles or parents or mm-hmm. other people, and get a small loan. But if you get a big loan, you know, most everybody has to go to the bank or some kind of a loan situation that works off the banks.
Well,
and then you begin to wonder, well, where and how did the banks get this much money? And now that's the one to really start thinking about and studying on. Go ahead.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, you could borrow it from a friend or a relative, but currently in our current situation, you couldn't even borrow it from a friend or a relative unless someone else had borrowed it and your friend or relative got it so that they could lend it to you, because
mm-hmm.
it's all a loan. It's all a loan principle. And they go on in this report, again, the current fiscal path is unsustainable, and they use the fiscal policy and fiscal policy, fiscal. The problem isn't fiscal. The problem is monetary policy. All the money is created as a debt to the free people of America, okay? And that's the problem, because this whole report, they never think about the fact, let's see, if we create all money as loans, we're probably going to have debt, right? Yeah. And now,
how could you not have debt?
Yep. And they never think about that. You know, they never talk about that. And they're going to have lots of it, because as soon as they borrow the first dollar, the interest bill starts growing. And that interest debt that grows is not money. It never created as money. It's only a debt expected to be paid in money. Okay, and they wonder why they have deficits and shortages, and why the current path or plan, whatever the heck it is unsustainable, and they're writing a 264-page report that they're going to present to the president. And do you think President Trump is going to read it? No, he's going to go, wow, you guys, I don't know what most of this shit means, but you sure put a lot of time into it. Good job, you guys. And we're going to keep going down the same road we're going down. But the report also talks about the fact that the timing of policy changes to make fiscal policy, which, again, it's not a fiscal policy change that needs to happen. You can't even have a fiscal policy with a debt money program. But it says to make it sustainable has important implications for the well-being of future generations. Some people even say for the sake of our kids and our children. Isn't that warm and fuzzy? They care so much about future generations. And then the kicker, this is where I stopped reading the report, when they said the government's fundamental mission is derived from the Constitution. And then they say, to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. How much BS do they expect us to swallow? You know, I want to give you the floor, Byron, because I almost can't even talk anymore.
Well, it's so obvious that that's impossible when you have your money system based on debt. And if they really, really care about the Constitution, yes, the Constitution says that you can borrow money. But if you're going to borrow money, then you have to have a definition for it. And there's no. Greg got a letter from the Treasury himself and asked, well, what was the definition of the word dollar? And they said, well, actually, there really isn't one. Well, then, what are you going to do if there's no definition of it? How are you going to know for not whether you're doing it right? And then, but we know because you clearly have to borrow money to get it. That's clearly in the letter in the Treasury. Also, on Facebook the other day, I put a write-in from John B. Hendrickson about money is created when loans are issued and debts incurred, and money is extinguished when a loan is repaid. And I put it on the computer. And this woman come back and said, well, you missed all these other points. And I just said, well, why didn't you take it up and argue with him, not me? I just quoted exactly what he said in a letter that was sent to me by Senator Daschle from South Dakota. So now if you don't think he did it right, well, please go discuss that with him, not me. And, of course, I didn't hear anything back at all about anything. But, you know, when I put it on, I show a source for everything that I get. You know, it most of it all come from letters from the Treasury or Library from Congress or things like this that clearly wrote this, or actually maybe even a statement from the Federal Reserve Purpose and Function. But they come back with all kinds of things, but they never quote where they got it from. So, well, you know, it makes you wonder. When I have sources that they can check out, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, talking about, you know, the statutory definition of a dollar. And here's a letter in 1993 I wrote to Mr. Monk, and because he'd written a letter, and I said, on page 5 of that same letter, it states that debts in the U.S. are normally measured in dollars. So I asked him, I said, does this mean that if there were no debt, there would be no dollars? And he wrote back, and he said, the statement, debts in the U.S. are normally measured in dollars, does not mean that if there were no debt, there would be no dollars. Now, I don't even know if he knows what he's talking about or even thought about what he said, because that's what our dollars are evidence of today, our indebtedness. So if there were no debt, where would the dollars come from?
And, well, you know, I can't think of his name right now, Hemphill, from the Federal Reserve Bank. He said, well, if all the debts would pay, there would not be a dollar of money in circulation any place, coin or currency.
Yeah.
Well, now, both of these things can't be true.
Yep.
So, you know, but again, you have to read things with a question about whether or not, you know, does it make sense? Is it logical what the answer was? And I remember clearly you wrote and asked him that, and I said, well, there is actually no definition of the dollar. Well, if you don't have any definition of it, how would you really know what it was? How to explain what it is?
And that gets back to just the everyday person walking around on the street using a medium of exchange and have no idea of how it's created or put into circulation. And so everybody's just using it. And in fact, the matter, there isn't even any definite statutory definition of a dollar, that thing that they think that they're using. And they've just been bamboozled over time. They changed our money from wealth to debt, and they did it slowly and acted real smart and double speak like economists always do. So even your legislators or your leaders or your representatives, whatever you want to call them, that are looking out for your rights and your freedoms, they let the economists and all those guys take care of it. You know, we just trust them. You know, these folks are very benevolent people. All them people at the Treasury, Secretary Mnuchin, all his buddies, you know, who most of them work for big banks or come into the Treasury from a big bank. But you can trust them to not do anything that would be a detriment to you. You can trust them to be benevolent and caring about you. Well, it says right in the report here, you know, they care about the future generations and they care about the Constitution. How much, again, how much BS?
Well, they obviously don't pair against the Constitution because you can't get him to even address it or anything. And you're talking about legal system. Years ago, a friend of mine, we got a list of all the lawyers in South Dakota. We split it up and we called every lawyer in the state of South Dakota and only found one that didn't work for the banking system. Now, if you're working and getting paid for the banking system, and then you get in an issue that's saying, well, maybe they're not doing it quite right, just where do you think the banker's going to put his loyalty? To you, the American citizen who's trying to do what the Constitution says, you know, to make a better country, have a better country, have more prosperity and freedom for the people, or the banker who's paying their wages on a regular basis?
I think it gets down to they take the money, they go with the banker. And
with
so
that,
who's running the country?
We got an advertisement here. I want to advertise quick about our book that we wrote.
You want a better understanding of our monetary system? Want to know how it works, who it benefits, and why there is so much suffering? And have you ever wondered what exactly a dollar is? To find these answers and a whole lot more, pick up a copy of Modern Money Secrets by Byron Dale and Greg Soderberg. Available at our website, and now available on Amazon. The book takes the reader through our monetary system foundation and history, and then explains, in simple language, why our debt-based money system is flawed. Discover why an individual can get out of debt, but why collectively, we cannot. Why not order your copy of Modern Money Secrets today? Just visit our website for instructions, or order the book right now on Amazon. That's Modern Money Secrets by Byron Dale and Greg Soderberg. Because how our monetary system works shouldn't be a secret.
So you should get Modern Money Secrets, and then money won't be a secret to you. You can get it online. You can get it on our website, wealthmoney.org.
We just had two people call in.
Okay.
And we'll go with the first here. Is 347-925-6212.
Good morning.
Yeah, if you have any questions or comments, would you like to talk to you? Go ahead.
What was the subject matter? I haven't been listening very long.
The subject matter is money.
Money is created and how money gets in circulation so we can have it to spend. And why is the whole nation so deep in debt? Go ahead.
Back in 1927, about $60 billion worth of gold bullion was removed from this country. So they had to go into another system that is not based on gold.
Or based on wealth, is what you're really saying. Because, gold comes out of the ground as a natural resource. And if you go clear back to 1792 Coinage Act, they said, well, if you can bring in gold in here, now we will monetize it, and by meaning that we will weigh it and assay it and stamp it into coinage free of charge for you if you just wait and take the same gold back with you, only now it's been monetized and turned into money. Gold itself is not money. It's just a raw material. But it's in the earth, and you can get it by mining it, or if you're lucky, just go around and pick it up out of the creek, like the very first one, first gold mine in the United States was discovered that way. The child of the family was just playing in the creek one day, and he found this kind of yellow stone, pretty big, and he picked it up and took it in, and they didn't know what it was, so they used it to keep their door open in the summertime. And then one day a jeweler came by and said, by golly, that's gold. But see, gold in itself is not money. It has to be monetized and turned into money and by law. And the law said that we will use it. Well, then, as you said, they took away a lot of the gold. And then they said, well, we will monetize money by using it as debt. And we'll allow the banks to create loans to us, or promises to pay actually to us, and we will call it the money. But, of course, if you create money as a debt, then you can't get out of debt. So this is how it goes. Now, if you have another comment, because I got two more guys waiting here to get on the show.
No, I don't have another comment.
Okay. We'll go now to 717-898-8692. If you have a question or comment, we'd sure like to visit with you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, we see the email about, I think it said, why do Americans need Social Security?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you know why, because I don't know. I got the email yesterday. I'm trying to see why the reason.
Yeah, we were gonna talk about that a little bit. Why people who work most of their lives aren't unable to save, and why they need Social Security. And if you look at the timeline of what happened in America with the money system, in 1933, I believe it was, President Roosevelt signed an executive order pulling all the remaining gold coins and or gold certificates from circulation. And you had to do that under threat of fine or imprisonment. And it was in exchange for bank notes, evidence of indebtedness. So they pulled all the remaining wealth money out of circulation, and it left, like Byron talks about, nothing but debt and no way to pay the debt except with more debt. And they knew that people, even though they worked their whole life, would have a real hard time saving, and that the growing spread between the money supply and the cost of living would make it harder and harder for people to save, because there'd be no surplus every week or every day to save. And so they created another Ponzi scheme on top of the debt money scheme called the Social Security system. And now it's the very system that they threaten to take away, because they say that it's an entitlement program. Yet, how can it be an entitlement program when you're forced to pay into the program? And so the Social Security system is just another symptom of the debt money system. And that's why we have Social Security.
You
need it. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if you know how the process works. Is it true that the people who's working not in the system, but they're the ones that's paying for those that's retired?
Well, we keep borrowing more and more to fund the future.
Just a second, Greg. Everybody, you know, is you know, if they get a certain age and this stuff, and you know, when they pay in, they're entitled to get Social Security. But nowadays, they also want to say, well, even though you're an illegal immigrant that came into the country and you're not a citizen of the United States, you're also entitled to Social Security, although you never actually paid in all your working like all the rest of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now, because of that, then they say, well, it costs us a lot of money to fund this. But, see, in reality, if they wouldn't, the government takes that money and spends it and then says, well, we'll pay you back some other time with another time. Well, now, wait a minute, we don't want to do that anymore because we want to get rid of this big entitlement. But it's not an entitlement because we all pay Social Security all our lives. Every time we get a paycheck, we have to do so much, pay so much Social Security. And if that money was kept, then it'd be money for Social Security because a lot of people don't get that old. And, of course, now it seems like people do get older, live a little longer.
Yeah.
So that it at first a lot of people died before they could even get it anyway, so that, you know, they just kept building up the money of people who didn't have to pay. Well, now they've changed all that because, well, now the people live longer, but they still have to pay it up to a long time. But we also are willing to give it to all the illegal immigrants and other people that haven't paid in. Well, of course, obviously, then that thing runs out of money after a while. But only because of the corruption of the government, not because the system itself would not work.
And the other thing about Social Security, which makes it really impossible, like the money system, is that even if people tried to save, what is it that they would be saving? And what they're saving is an interest-bearing debt. Maybe they didn't borrow it, but somebody did, and they captured it from another person. But it's impossible for everybody to save when all the money has to be borrowed before you can save it. And then when it's in savings, it's sitting there, nobody can use it, and the debt on it is growing constantly. And this adds to the cost of living. Like Byron's talking about people living longer, but the problem with that, too, is the cost of living are a lot higher than what they used to be. And, you know, it's almost sad to say, but you really can't afford to live that long. And it needs to be changed, and we know how to do that.
And, of course, Greg, we want – go ahead. You make your comment, and then I'll come in later.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, how is the government able to pay people Social Security who never volunteer in the system? I mean, someone who come here from another country, and they owe, and the government just decides to give them Social Security. But those people never paid
They just go ahead and borrow money from the banks in order to pay for that people's Social Security.
Wow. And then the people that they give the money to will probably vote for them.
And then you'll
have a real honest person in office representing your rights and freedoms.
Okay. Exactly.
Thank you for calling.
You know, and this is so important to understand. And as we was talking before you come on the air, that a long time ago, I got to thinking about this and studying, and I wrote a letter to the Treasury and asked them, well, just how money is created. And Russell Monk, writing for the United States Treasury, said that, well, all money is created by loans from banks. And then down below he said, well, you may want to know who gets a benefit. In the same letter he wrote, you know, who gets the benefits? Well, the banks get the benefit because they own all the money all the time, while the borrower just borrows the money and pays interest on it when he uses it. And, of course, see, you've got to understand, once you borrow and interest kicks in, the interest itself makes the debt grow but not the money supply. So, for example, if I buy a tractor and I borrow the money for it, well, then I get a brand new asset with my tractor, and I get a brand new liability because I paid, you know, I owed the bank for the money. Okay, well, then my tractor will depreciate as it gets older and become worth less, but the bank note, the interest will make the debt grow, so my debt will be growing all the time the value of my tractor keeps going down. And then as the debt grows with the money, well, now the debt becomes greater and greater, And then all that interest now becomes a cost to people doing business, because the more they owe, well, then the more the interest they have to pay. Even if interest goes down, if it goes up, it's just they have to pay more. But even if it's just 1%, they still have to pay more than the money is. So obviously they have to start raising prices just to try to keep up enough that they can make their payments to the banker. And this is what causes all this inflation we have, and why the prices keep going up all the time. And then also big companies, they will sometimes remodel their whole business so they can depreciate that money so they don't have to pay so much taxes. But the problem is they also spent the money to other people to build it. So the long term, they didn't get the money either, to keep the money, so they couldn't use it to pay off their debt. So now they got to borrow some more just to keep the business going, which means now they got more interest to pay, so they got to raise the prices some more.
And so when
that's how our
when
system
you,
really works.
And so everybody's out there trying to get that interest, and what where they're getting the interest from is from beating up on each other, trying to get to somebody else's loan principal. And that's what most of the activity you see out there is all about, just competing to try to make ends meet, and that causes the corruption, the unfairness, and the inequality that you mentioned in your comment there. That's what causes all this. And if we created the money and spent it in, and we think by building roads and bridges, because that's what the Constitution says that Congress should do, we'd have a debt-free medium exchange. We'd start bringing back fairness, honesty, and equality, and we'd start going down a better road. But we just have to get people to believe that money can exist without debt. But that's a hard stone to turn over.
Can I have another comment to make it possible?
Sure, go ahead.
How is it that the national debt, at what point is it going to be that it cannot be paid and they walk away from it?
Well,
we're already at that point. Now, I'm assuming, sir, that you have a computer?
Yes, I do.
Okay, when you get off the show here, would you be kind enough to take your computer and type in the debt clock?
Okay, yes.
And you will come up with the debt clock, and it'll show you how much, what the debt is, what the money supply is, and all kinds of things, and how much the government debt is, and then how much is the other people, the corporation, the people got. Because the total debt now, according to the debt clock, and that I also have went into the website of the Federal Reserve System, and they agree with each other, and the total debt is now $73 trillion. Well, the government debt is $22 trillion, so that makes up that the people have, the rest of them have about a $50 trillion debt. But the money supply is less than $4 trillion.
Okay.
So how are you going to get rid of all this debt when you have a $73 trillion debt for the entire nation and only $3 trillion or a little over for the money supply that you and
right.
I can actually buy and sell with?
Mm.
And so
the only
way we can do is just keep on borrowing, which just
yep.
makes this whole system worse and worse.
But the other thing, Byron, that also can happen is that the money creators can decide that they're going to call in loans, and they can have a recession, or they can have a depression, or we could maybe go over the fiscal cliff, which I'll talk about. But they don't want to go over the fiscal cliff because, like Byron says, they own all the money all the time, and you and I just borrow and pay interest on it. It's their benefit to keep the system going. So, they already know that they can't pay the debt. But what they want to do is keep it manageable for themselves, okay? And when you have a recession, what happens? And they call in these loans, and it don't matter if you got a payment due. It doesn't matter if you're not behind on your payments. Doesn't matter. They can call that loan whenever they want. And if you can't pay the loan, they get your property. And that's how all the property funnels in this system into the hands of fewer and fewer people. And so that's...
Okay, go ahead. You had another comment.
The debt clock. Do you add the U.S. national debt? Do you add the interest rate? Do you add the total debt? Do you put that all together?
Yeah, because somewhere is that debt drawing interest.
Right. So it's more than 22
because
trillion.
It always does. When you borrow money, you have to pay interest on it, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, the correct figures that you look at, like on the debt clock, you know, they just constantly change. And I have a letter from, he was Timothy Schilling. He's a public information specialist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. Because I asked him that, you know, how much is a debt and how much, you know, interest do we pay on it and all that. And he wrote me back and said, well, they don't really know because it takes about 4 years from today to figure out where we are today. So there's like a 4 year, and that was way back in, I don't know, 1993. So it's, maybe it takes even longer now, but they never really know exactly where they're at.
Right. So you think the national debt in reality could be $100 trillion? Could it be?
Oh, it could be because we don't know. Now, I have a thing from that was signed by Mnuchin, the Secretary of Treasury, and it's called The Nation by the Numbers. And it says on it that the total liabilities of the United States government, the government financial position and condition is what it's titled, and financial measurements and billions. And it says that the total liabilities of the government is 25, and I won't go off all the small ones, but just round it off, $25 quadrillion.
What is a quadrillion?
It's like a trillion.
That's a trillion trillions.
Like it's got 15 zeros behind it.
Oh my God!
They talk about the short form or the long form, and The only difference is in the number of zeros. But you know, we got a thing on the internet. Everybody talks about Google, and you know what Google is? Google is a number with 100 zeros behind it. So We only got 15 zeros now. We got a long ways to go.
My. Wow.
That's why we have this show, to try and to get people to stop and think about, well, where does actually money come from and how does it get in circulation and what are the benefits or the consequences of doing money, that of having a money system that way. Now, if your money was all based on wealth, for example, the United States Constitution says Congress shall coin money. Well, that coin word is a noun, is a verb, because, you know, if it's a noun, it's a person, place, or thing. Well, you can't be a person, place, and thing money, but you can create money, and that's what it means is about. It's a verb, it's an action word. So they can create the money. So if the Congress created the money and spent it into circulation for the roads and bridges, it also says that the United States government should provide for post offices and post roads. Well, if they would do that, then government would spend all this money into circulation, and this money would be into circulation. We wouldn't have the debt, and we wouldn't have the cost of interest. So now the whole economy would be based on the production and wealth produced by the people when the people went out and built a new road or built a new post office or funded what the post office does, and that money would flow into circulation. And of course, you're always building roads and fixing roads in every state and every county in the nation all the time, especially in the summertime. So that money would flow in all over the country, kind of based on population, because the bigger the population, the more roads you need and streets. So then this would bring this whole money into circulation, and there would be money that you could save without having to, because you can't borrow $100 and save 10 and then pay back 110. It's physically and mentally and monetarily impossible, which that's what they're trying to require. But without the debt, we'd get paid and we wouldn't have to pay back. It's just like years ago, Greg and I was talking to a reporter, and he said, well, it don't make any difference in whether you create money as debt or wealth. And so we said, okay, well, when we leave here, we'll tell your boss that you don't want your money to be paid to it. You just go ahead and loan it to him, and he'll be happy. And he said, oh, no, don't even tell him that. And all of a sudden, he knew there was a difference between getting money as a debt or getting money as a payment.
And there's a difference between I owe and I own. And there's a difference between freedom and servitude. And that's what we're talking about.
Right. So,
it looks like, Greg, it looks like, if you got any more comments, go ahead. If not, it looks like we got another guest on the show.
This is the last one.
Go ahead.
I mean, how does the money system impact the wars, you know? I mean, for example, right now they're talking about some problem. I think conflicted with Iran, they plan to attack Iran. How does that affect the economy? How does that affect the money system?
Well, see, first off, there's only four countries in the world that don't have the same kind of banking system the United States does. So basically, and a lot of these wars we're having is with countries that don't have a bank central banking system, and the banking system wants to make sure they do.
Right.
And then, of course, we have this age-old argument since way back in Bible times that the one group of people don't get along too well with the others. If you want to read your Bible and if you care if anything is true or not, now I'm not going to say, I'm just saying that's what it says, that this guy had one that had children and his wife was old and didn't think he was going to have any, so he had sex with his handmaid and she had one. Well, then later she got, his regular wife got pregnant, and that divided a group of people. And the ones that came from the handmaid turned into Somalis, and they have always argued and fought with the other people that came down from that side. And if you want to, yeah, I'm not saying that's an actual fact, but that's what the Bible says, and a lot of people believe it's pretty true. I'm just going to tell you what it says. And we know that those people are still warring with each other up to this day, because that's what's happening right now. And the very country you're talking about, they're one group, and the rest of most of the rest of the world is other groups. So they actually, according to their religion, say that they have a right to kill everybody that won't accept their religion. So you have a real problem here that needs to be addressed too. And of course, then that's ends up with wars. And of course, wars are really a great thing for the bankers, because in most cases, they get to loan both sides the money to fight with. And of course, it's a great deal when you loan money for somebody to buy guns and ammunition, and then they blow each other up. Well, then they got to borrow more money to build it back up, don't they?
Yeah, it's just their, like,
so that's a real benefit for bankers.
Yeah, it's their patriotic duty.
Okay, if that's your last question, I'll go to 612-529-5253.
Hey, good morning, Byron and Greg. It's Leslie. Kind of running the Saturday, busy day for me, but just catching up to you at the end of the show. I wanted to briefly tell you that I saw Greg Davids this week, and we're going to meet Wednesday at his office, and he's going to probably explain to me why he's not going to do anything. I'm being pessimistic, but maybe he'll be doing something. But he's reviewed it. He's spoken with people about it, and we're going to meet next Wednesday. So that's the
great
update.
Well,
on the legislation.
What time on Wednesday?
Well, we don't have that set. His receptionist, very nice woman, Jennifer, is supposed to call me, I guess, Monday or Tuesday with the time on Wednesday. So I'm leaving a day open until I hear. Did you want me to let you know what time it is?
Sure. Well, if it could be after 3 o'clock, I could be there.
After 2 o'clock. Well, I'll suggest that. I'll call her then on Monday and ask for something around 3 or 4 o'clock. And then we'll meet in his office.
I guarantee you, he knows me well.
Yeah, well, he knows you well. He knows me well, and he's looked in it. He's had his people from the revisor's office, et cetera, come down. He has all the information, and we'll hear what he has to say, yay or nay, and why or why not. So I'll have that answer Wednesday, and then I don't have to be chasing him all the time, because this will be kind of a definitive moment for me anyway. But, my banner is up. Leslie Davis, Republic Man. Thank you for the design, Greg. Republic Man for Congress in the Minnesota 5th District. And I'm running. a well-kept secret at this point, but I'm letting people know about it.
So when exactly would that election time be, Leslie, for that seat?
November of 2020, 1 year from this November.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm getting an early start, but, my opponent, Ilhan Omar, has already raised close to $1 million. The DFL has led in this district and owned it for the last 56 years. Ellison had this place before Ilhan Omar, and they have the whole DFL machine behind her. But, I see a little crack in the armor of this controlling district, and you never know. So I got to get an early start. My first $5,000 that I raise will then require me to register with the Federal Elections Commission. So that's what I guess the media is looking for, that I have an official federal committee so they can follow along as I raise the money. So that's what I'm doing now. My banner is up and it's beautiful, and I'll send you a picture of it in the next couple hours.
Great. So what district is this that you'd be running in, Leslie?
Congressional District 5.
Okay. All right.
Which includes Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, St. Louis Park, Richfield, Fridley, New Hope, kind of like that, Minneapolis and the surrounding area. And
okay.
They had good control of this, but hopefully the Republicans and the young people, I'm going after a lot of the 16-and-a-half and 17-year-olds because they'll be of voting age by the time this election comes. And they'll be 18 at that time, and they'll be their first time voting, and they'll have a chance to make their vote count by voting Leslie Davis, the Republic man. And we'll get her out of the way.
I wish you the best.
Thank you. And, Byron, I'll let you know. I'll try to set that meeting so you can attend. That would be very good.
Yeah. I could make that on Wednesday. Yeah,
3 o'clock would work for you?
3 o'clock would be best, yes.
Okay, I'll try for 3 o'clock, and I'll talk to Jennifer on Monday and see if I can work that out, and then I'll let you know.
Great. Thank you, Leslie.
Yeah, this is going to be a good campaign. People commenting on the banner, they like it. They like the way it looks. The color navy and gold. Navy and gold looks good.
Just think how much fun you're going to have.
Say that again?
Just think how much fun you're going to have.
Yeah, a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. A lot of money. I've already spent about $400, but that's okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just commenting.
Yeah.
And we'll see. You know, she raised this $900,000 in the first quarter of this year, and they report only about 4% of it came from Minnesota. So she's getting money from all over the country, maybe even all over the world. And if that happens with me, that'll be very good.
Yes.
And then we'll go to Washington.
I think it's actually illegal to get money out from people outside this country. I don't think that's quite illegal to do that.
Okay,
really.
Well, maybe it isn't. But I know that they're reporting that 4% of the money is coming from outside of Minnesota.
Yeah, well, I
don't
worry
doubt
about
that at all. Not at all.
That's a fact. I mean, that's reported, so that's a fact. That's not hearsay.
Nobody's really worried about the legality of anything anymore. That was in the country they called America, where they worried about the law and how it worked. But maybe with people like Leslie Davis and Byron and Greg and people that call into this show and others, maybe we can have an America back that works the way it's supposed to.
You mean where somebody can grow the product of their farm or garden and sell it and not go to jail for it? That would be a nice change.
Yeah. Well, they can milk their cow and give it and let somebody else buy it without going to jail.
Sure, without running it through a processing plant and take out all the nutrients of
the
milk.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of
years
things need to change.
Years
hopefully
ago,
we can get that DFL machine out of the way and win this election for the people.
Yep.
Years ago, Leslie, my brother worked for a hospital, and he was out at the home with the folks, and Dad had milked the cow and brought it in, and so he took some of that milk to town. When he got home, he put it all under microscopes, and the milk he took from home was a lot purer than the milk he was bought from the store.
Uh-huh. Well, when they cook it up, you know, they transport it and cook it up and modify it and all. Who knows what's in it? I don't know that it's that healthy, but I see people dragging these gallons of milk home, so they must like it.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I like about the milk is that it to dip those cookies in it makes it nice and mushy. I like that.
Years ago, my wife's brother and his family visited us when he was on the ranch, and so she fixed him a meal, and she set some milk down. And the mother said, well, don't put any in front of that boy because he just don't like milk. He won't drink it. And Judy said, well, I'll just leave it there, and if you don't drink it, well, I'll take care of it afterwards. And after a bit, he picked it up and drank it. And he drank it down and said, "What was that? That was really good."
All with the cream in it and
okay.
all, huh? Yeah, it's a good drink.
Well, we always skimmed the cream off and turned it into butter, so we had all the butter and we had the cream and we had the milk, and we just had one cow that we milked whenever we wanted to. We let the calf run to it, so then we needed milk. Well, we just shut the cow up, or the calf, and then the next morning, well, she'd be ready to go, and I'd milk her and then turn the calf back out. So the calf, he grew all the time, but we also got all the milk we had while she was raising the calf at the same time. So
Where was your farm in the old days, Byron?
It was out at Timberlake, South Dakota.
Timberlake, South Dakota, huh? What's doing out there now with that land that you used to be on?
Well, it's all full of old used cars.
Not farmland anymore?
Well, yeah, it's farmland, but it's a lot of it's used cars. There's another guy that does it, probably, I don't know what he does. I've never met the guy, but he bought it from the government. It wasn't even a legal sale because they couldn't sell it without an auction, and they wouldn't have an auction, so they just sold it to them without an auction, which isn't even really legal. But like Greg said, they don't pay much attention to the law anymore. And of course, nowadays, you can go on the computer with your smartphones and your computers, and my wife wanted to see some information, and she was able to go on into the county treasury's office and get, you know, how much the taxes was on it and all kind of thing, what its value was on that and some other land we was looking at. And so it's amazing what you can do nowadays with these computers and these smartphones, that you can find out the information. And that's how we happen to see all the cars out on it. And of course, you know, Judy and I, we started out when we were young, and go ahead, Greg.
Well, maybe if they're learning all this stuff on the computers and their cell phones and everything, maybe they'll learn about this money and what the problem is.
Well, they're going to worry about the 5G, you know. I'm kind of letting people know about this 5G network. I know it's going to be fast and people are going to love it, but tell me there's some problems with it, you know, the waves and rays and energy coming off it have been shown to be pretty harmful. So look into that yourselves, you know. Google that 5G network and see what you think about it. It's going that way.
Leslie,
we can't stop it.
One thing I've learned over a long period of life is that most of the things you read are not true.
Well, it is about
the 5G
thing, you know, because that's a scientific piece of information. That's not hearsay. This 5G, they know how it's produced.
A lot of times, I hate to tell you, but a lot of times the scientists lie too. Now, I'm going to tell you, Leslie, and I know this is going to upset you, but you know, that woman back there in New York said she wanted to get rid of all the cows because they fart, and cows don't fart.
Uh-huh.
And that's the truth. And I've studied this and I've lived it. And so I went online and I went on and I asked him, you know, I typed in cow farts. And I got this thing all about how the cows fart and how much they fart and all this kind of stuff. And then they went ahead and said, not only that, that process will destroy fertile soils. And that's when I knew that the whole damn thing was a lie, because when I was on that farm, I had, in one corner, I had a lot of hard pan soil. In other words, soil that was hard and didn't produce very much, and I wanted to get rid of it. So I went out there with my manure spreader, and I put a pile of manure on it. And the neighbor came by and said, "Man, Byron, you're liable to destroy your land putting that much manure on it." I said, "Oh, I don't think so." So I got through. I thought I had enough, and I still had some manure. So I went up in the other end, and I put some on, you know, about half as much. Well, then I planted the whole thing to oats. And where I put the heaviest manure, that oats got higher than the hind wheels of my tractor. The land in between that I didn't put any on got about a foot tall, maybe 15 inches. The land that was had at about half end, it got about half up, halfway up on my tires of my tractor. So that was absolute physical that did not wreck the land. It actually improved the land, all that cow manure and all that stuff. It actually makes better and better, more fertile land all the time. So you went in
you've proven that bullshit is good.
An absolute lie all the way through. Go ahead.
Well, the thing about 5G is, unless he's right, you know, it's going to enable faster speeds, which is what we need because we're not going fast enough right now. But the other thing is, it's going to move us into more where there'll be more like real time situations where you can see stuff in real time. And, you know, if people were thoughtful and respectful and conscientious and responsible, I think some of these things would be really good. But in my opinion, the cyberness that's going on hasn't been helpful at all, really, because you just have a divided people arguing and yapping all over the place, and none of it produces anything that promotes the general welfare. And so 5G is coming, but, you know, it's
now
I'm not
also
really
you have to realize it. You have to realize most of this, a lot of this stuff they tell you, you don't know whether it's true or not, because there's a commercial that I see once in a while, and it's got this turkey out here doing all kinds of things, mowing and everything, and it looks really live. I mean, it's you know, because it does things with its feathers and its arms, and you know that's not possible. So you know that's a computer-made thing. It has nothing to do with the real facts of life. And see, this is what the problem is. We get all this information, but we don't know, have no idea what was put out there to deceive us or not. Because they can do now almost anything with a computer. Make anything.
And I personally
talked to the editor of the Mobius paper, which is a town right close to where Timber Lake was, where the ranch was, and I got to know him pretty well. And I was back in the cities, and I called and talked to him about something. And he said, well, Byron, it's unbelievable what you can do. I personally, in this post, in this newspaper office, I could produce a movie showing you robbing the bank in in Mobridge, without question. You have you all on film, mom, in the bank, when I knew you'd never left Minneapolis.
At all, it basically
now you
just
think about that.
Living in unreality. It's called. I call it, it's kind of like a disease called cyberitis. I call it cyberitis. And especially the young people, you know, they're so plugged into that, they don't even know what a walk in the woods or out in nature is all about. They're living in cyberness, almost a non-reality. And, you know, we need people to think about reality. And if they thought about reality, they'd be thinking about how we could change our monetary system so that it would work for everybody, and we wouldn't have all this bickering and fussing and fighting and division. But again, you know, it's like the guys that found that 42,000-year-old calf, you know, they thought what was really important is that they might be able to actually grow a woolly mammoth. And, you know, that's a high priority in our society. We don't really have any other problems to deal with. We've got to have a woolly mammoth. We've gone without one for so long.
I'd like one, a woolly mammoth to pet in our house.
You would about the time he charged you and put his tusks up your rear end.
Well, I got this pit bulls
you'd
around
really
my
like
neighborhood,
then,
you know,
like...
and they kind of... You ever come face to face with a pit bull, you know, that's kind of not a real friendly looking fellow? Why, if they ever get hold of you, man, it'd be tough to shake one loose. So I thought of carrying a tool that'd help me in the event that happens. I bicycled to the post office, and the only thing between me and sure death, probably, is this little leash this girl is holding walking this mean ass dog. So.
Well, I mean, and I'm concerned, Leslie, about that woolly mammoth taking a dump in your living room.
That'd be all right. I have him do it when the landlord comes for the rent.
One thing we do need more of, and that's laughter.
Yeah, well, we'll have some fun with this campaign. And then when I go to Washington, D.C., Greg, you and Carrie will come along and we'll get this big house and share it, and then we'll be able to walk through the halls of Congress telling all those guys how to manage our money supply for America.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're a congressperson, you get about $1.5 million budget to run the office. We'd be able to put out a lot of Green Roads information and be able to pay some salaries for 14 people that you're able to hire to work. So we could really get something done if I can get this machine, this Republican machine in Minneapolis, to get in my corner. Right now they're holding back, but I'll get to them. Ms. Carnahan, she's the chair of the Republican Party. She ought to come out and say the Republican Party of Minnesota supports Leslie Davis in CD5 instead of being a bunch of chicken shits and laying back and waiting to see what happens. It's not going to get any better, Ms. Carnahan.
Yep.
So make your move now. I'm ready. I'm working. It's hard, but I'm here. Ready, strong, ready to serve again. So let's get going.
Leslie Davis for
Congress and CD5.
Okay. So, Byron, you want to tell people we're going to be gone for a little bit here for a couple weeks?
Well, yeah, because of some personal matters, we won't have the show for about a month. I have some personal things that I have to take care of that we just won't be able to do it. And so I just let you know.
Yes.
But after that,
and they,
I think I'll get it straightened back out, and I'll be able to go do the show again.
And if people want to,
want to thank for everybody that called in today, and I know we get a lot of listeners that's thinking about this for the first time ever. Go ahead, Greg, and then we'll close the show.
I was just going to say, if people want to hear Wealth Money Radio, they can always listen. When we're gone from these live shows, they can always listen to past shows and archives at wealthmoney.org.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for all you do.
Thank you all for you betcha.
Byron and Greg want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Thank you for your support.